you. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God exhibited. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He showed forth. He manifested. He proved. He exhibited. He established. He made it obvious. I love you. Amen. The cross screams tonight, Jesus loves me. While I was yet sinners, Christ died. Amen. Thank the Lord for his commended love tonight. Would you lift up your hands again? Would you love him with all your heart? Praise him from the bottom of your soul tonight.
Bless your mighty name. Oh, I love you. Oh, I glorify your mighty name. Oh, I worship. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I worship. I need your anointing. Need your hand, oh God. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Somebody said in Jesus' name, bless you so very much. Some time ago, you may be seated. Some time ago, I was reminded of our evening routine and ritual as a family, particular when our children were small and when time to go to bed came around, we would ensure that they were ready to go to bed, had their pajamas on, and all of the details about that, bath and bathroom and etc. But as they would lay in their bed, we would have a time of prayer. It was not a long prayer, but it was recognizing the Lord at the end of the day. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Give us good rest tonight. Something along that line. And then as that prayer would conclude, we would sing with them, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Amen. I and my wife had an underlying desire and burden and even a passion to ensure that our son and daughter had a conviction about the love of God. Amen. I want them to understand that they are loved by God. And even as the years began to unfold and they became evangelist children and they would essentially put themselves to bed, from time to time we would hear both of them as they shared a very small bedroom in an evangelist trailer. We would hear them praying that prayer and singing that song together. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus loves me tonight. Amen. Maybe this is too simple for most of us tonight, but amen. I never want to get over Jesus loving me. Somewhere I read that in this world, that there's a lot of things that can distract me and hinder me and destroy my soul. But in Jesus Christ, he said the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. God's love is more than a children's bedtime or a Sunday school song tonight. Amen. It's a lot more involved than Jesus loving all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They're precious in His sight. Amen. But Jesus loves the men and the women. He loves the rich and the poor. He loves the ignorant and the educated. Amen. Jesus loves the good and the bad. He loves the saint and the sinner. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm very glad tonight that it's not about how good I am. It's about how good He is. Thank God I don't get what I deserve, because I deserve death. I deserve destruction. I deserve damnation. Amen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Somebody shout praise the Lord. I read in John 15, this is my commandment. Somebody shout commandment. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love like I love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Love is not selfish, but sacrificial. Love is not about what somebody does for you, but about what you do for somebody else. Amen. Paul would remind the Roman church that nor height or depth nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God. Amen. It did not say, maybe you think I'm being too picky tonight, it did not say, amen, it can separate the love of God from us. Because it's not about us. It's about the love of God. It can't separate us from God's love. It doesn't matter what happens. God's going to love us. Amen. I can't always guarantee. I'm just going to be transparent tonight. I'm a human being just like you are. You can't guarantee me tonight that you will always love God. But we can guarantee one another tonight, God will always love us. God forbid that something would happen in my life and I stop loving God. But you hear this evangelist tonight, nothing, amen, could ever happen that would cause God to stop loving me. There's no height, there's no depth, there's no angel, there's no power, there's no principality. Amen, there's no things present or things to come. Nothing, any other creature can separate us from the love of God. That does not mean that He approves of your lifestyle. It means He loves you. Does not mean I'm ready to go to heaven. It means He loves me. Amen, amen. He loves me enough to tell me the truth. Amen. I read in Ephesians chapter 2, His great love wherewith He loved us. John would declare in his first epistle, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He said, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He manifested His love. He made His love evident. He proved. He didn't just tell me I love you. He showed me I love you. In this, herein is love. This is what love is all about. Amen. It's not, amen, because I loved Him. It's because He loved me. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares we love him because he first loved us. He doesn't love me because I first loved him. I love him because he first loved me. If it was not for him, there would. Amen. Love not because of me, it's because of God. I'm not love. Remember, John said, God is love. That's who he is. That's what he is. That's a part of his essence. He's light. He's holy. He's truth. He's love. I'm going to push pause here right now and help you understand, hopefully. Amen. It's not too good to be true that a God like that would love somebody like you. Amen. I don't want to offend anybody. Amen. But I'm never good enough to deserve God loving me. Thank God for faithfulness. Thank God for obedience. Amen. Thank God for revelation. Thank God for a wholesome lifestyle. Thank God for all that you've got going on in your favor and on your behalf. Thank God for a good reputation. Thank God for a positive testimony. But that does not mean that I deserve the love of God. You know as well as I do, there's other good people in Augusta that aren't repentant and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He doesn't love you because you're good. He loves you because he's God. Amen. It's who he is. Amen. I'm trying to help everybody tonight. I'm trying to help somebody that thinks you're somebody to realize you're nobody. And you're never good enough to deserve the love of God. But I'm also doing battle with the spirit of hell tonight that says you'll never be loved. You're unlovable. You're unreachable. You're unhelpable. That's a lie from the pit tonight. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, how bad you are, how long you've been bad. Amen. He loves me. Preacher, you don't know my lifestyle. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my prejudice. You don't know my past. You don't know my personality. I don't have to know any of that. What I do know is the word of God declares God so loved the world. Come on, let's love him together. Why don't we begin to reciprocate that love tonight? Does anybody have at least an ounce of appreciation for the love of God tonight? Anybody glad? Anybody glad he's God enough to love me regardless of my lifestyle, regardless of my personality, regardless of my problems, regardless of my past, regardless of the chinks in my armor, regardless of all my thoughts and all my failures. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm stirred in my spirit tonight about God's love. Paul's writing to some converts at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is not just another place on the map. There's some pretty serious history in Ephesus. There's some pretty colorful history at Ephesus. Now, there's good people there, but there's also some scoundrels at Ephesus. Because the reputation and the personality of Ephesus was pagan. Yes. Amen. It was a city that was devoted to pagan worship. Uh-huh. I mean, people made a good living by making idols, right, for idol worshipers. Right. Right. I mean, there was witches and warlocks and those that were involved in sorcery. They had magic shops that it meant they made a good living out of that. Amen. It's probably a place that had we been God, from our perspective and opinion, let's not waste our time at Ephesus. Ephesus is too far gone. Ephesus has too many problems. There's too many drug addicts at Ephesus. There's too much false doctrine at Ephesus. There's too much family tradition at Ephesus. There's too many bad reputations at Ephesus. Amen. But Paul was passing through the upper coast and he comes and he runs into some disciples. Amen. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And those men that were satisfied with religious tradition says, "We've not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said, "How were you baptized?" They said, "We were baptized into John's baptism." We've been baptized unto repentance. We follow the tradition of religion in our society. Amen. Paul did not throw them under the bus. Paul didn't say, "You bunch of ignoramuses." He didn't call them a bunch of losers and a bunch of fakes. You know what he said? "No problem. I can work with this." You say you've accepted Jesus as your Savior? Wonderful. Sis, that's great. You know what? So have I. As a matter of fact, here's the deal. Amen. I didn't stop with just accepting him. I let him do it. I said accepting him as my Savior did not save me. But it prompted me to go forth and go forward and walk in obedience to the plan of salvation. Amen, amen. There's nothing wrong with religion. It's just that there's not enough right with it. What's wrong with it is that you get satisfied with it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with God. Anything anybody knows about God is good. Amen. Because God is good. But I don't want to stop reaching until I have the fullness of revelation. I don't want to stop praying until I have the fullness of his experience. I don't want to stop putting forth an effort until I get everything that God has for me in my life. They soon understood. Amen. There was nothing wrong with John, but it's wrong to be satisfied with just John. He said, "Don't you remember what John said? There's one coming after that's mightier." They manifested their faith. They claimed to be believers. And sure enough, they were, because when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues and prophesied. They really were believers. They really did have faith. It was not just saying I'm a believer. They really were believers. And they received the love of God. For the Bible declares the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Anybody glad that Jesus loves you tonight? Anybody glad Jesus loves you tonight? Oh, somebody lift up your hands and tell him about it. I worship your mighty name. I glorify your mighty name. I worship your holy name. The apostle rolled into Ephesus and upset hell's apple cart. They brought their books together and burned them. They put the idol makers out of business. Amen. And they got the magistrates all stirred up. Amen. And when they found out that these were Christians, they called an assembly. And for the space of 2 hours in the arena, they cried and chanted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Amen. They were testifying, "Diana is our God. Perversion is our choice of lifestyle." I don't want to get amen out of the way tonight, but you can do some study about Diana worship. All right. Amen. And you can go home and get embarrassed by yourself without both of us, all of us getting embarrassed together. It was not wholesome. It was not holy. It was not godly. Amen. But they were devoted to their God. But thanks be unto God, God didn't say they're too far gone. He says, "Oh no, I love, amen, Ephesus too much to stay away." Amen. And so Paul picks up his pen and he writes to a bunch of ex-idolaters, ex-pagan worshipers, ex-fornicators, ex-idol worshipers, ex-idol makers, ex-witches, amen, and wizards. You gotta know that the devil tried, amen, to throw them on the bus and say, "God doesn't have time for somebody like you." Amen. But Paul said, "I got something that those good people at Ephesus need to hear. They need to know that this preacher's been praying for them." Amen. Saints of God, this is what I'm praying. Amen. I'm praying that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. I know you've got a sordid past. I know you've got a lot you've left behind. I know you've got a negative reputation. But I've got a present love of God. That when you're rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all, my God, with all saints. He said, "Church at Ephesus, amen, God wants you to understand what the Jerusalem church understands. He wants you, bunch of converted Gentiles, to understand what those one God Jews understand." All, somebody shout, all saints. Somebody shout, all saints. It doesn't matter what you've done or who you've been. It just matters what you're doing and who you are. He said, "I want you to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." It's more than you could ever comprehend, but do your best to comprehend it. Don't ever let the devil talk you out, amen, of God's love. Amen. Don't ever turn your back on God's love. Don't ever let what you've been hinder you from what you can be in the kingdom. Amen. God so loved the world. I'm trying to hurry tonight. Anybody believe in one God? Anybody know who that one God is tonight? Anybody know what Deuteronomy 6:4 declares? Can somebody quote it with me here, O Israel? The Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Can somebody quote verse 5 with me? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Amen. I'm glad you know how many gods there are, but I want to know, how do you feel about that God? I'm glad you've been baptized in Jesus' name, but I want to know, have you fallen in love with Jesus? Amen. Don't sit on me now. Amen. This is the heart of God to this apostolic church tonight. Amen. God told me last night in prayer that what I'm preaching right now is the key. Amen. One of the keys to the revival and the promises of the fulfillment of prophecy that God has made this church. You can take that for what it's worth. Amen. I speak the truth and I lie not. I would to God that everybody that believed in one God was in love with God. I would to God that everybody that was baptized in Jesus' name really loved Jesus. I'm not preaching that you don't love him, but I'm preaching if you don't, it's time to make sure. Amen. This is not just ritual. This is not just formality. This is not just tradition. Can I have about 5 minutes tonight? Amen. Somebody shout love. Love in the Old Testament was not a suggestion, it was a commandment. You were commanded to love, and that is not unreasonable by God. You say, well, love belongs to me. Oh, no. No. Love doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. God is love. You love because of God. And this word love is quite interesting here in the Old Testament. It simply means to have affection for. Your affection for God affects every part of your life. All your soul. All your might. All your heart, your emotions. Nothing do I get more emotional about than God. I'm not passionate about anything more than I'm passionate about God. Now, God's not my only passion, but he's my strongest passion. I'm passionate about family, but I'm more passionate about God. Amen. Don't make me turn 5 into 10 tonight. Amen. Yeah, but I'm an evangelist. And this is the first night. The idea is for them to come back. They know what they're coming when they come near you. Jesus declared in John 13 a new commandment.
All right.
Somebody shout new commandment.
New commandment.
Amen. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. The old commandment was you love God. But I've got a new commandment. You don't just love God, you love others. Well, Well, can I just use some good Holy Ghost common sense? If you really love God, you're really going to love everybody. Somewhere I read in this book, if I don't love my brother, I don't love God. If I say I love God and I hate my brother, John said I'm a liar. Amen. Not my opinion. That's God's word. But this is the new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Take the way that I, as your God, love, and love everybody else. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Not by how many verses you can quote, not by how much money that you give. All of this is important. Not by how modest you dress. Amen. Modesty is important. Amen. Without holiness and without following peace, no man can see God. Amen. I believe in holiness and separation and modesty from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But that's not what causes people to know that I'm a disciple. There's other religions that dress modest and quote scripture and give money. They know you're my disciple when you love one another. John said again in his first epistle, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. This is why, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He said the rules have changed. The worm has turned. He said, I've got a new commandment now, because light's shining. Darkness no longer rules and reigns. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. A new commandment. Love not the world. Jesus said, this is the new commandment, that you agape one another like I agape you. He that agapes not doesn't know who God is, for God is. It's the Greek word for love. Agape or agapeo depends on if it's a noun or a verb. Agape love. God, the way God loves. He says, you take my love for you and you distribute it to others. The commandment is love. Oh my God, like I love. Amen. God could declare, amen, I don't love like Deuteronomy 6 and 4. My love's deeper than that. That was then. That was old covenant. That was what you did because you had to. This is what you do because you get to. And because I have, now you can. That was just affection for. But this is beyond affection. This is beyond friendship. This is relationship. This is beyond being impressed. Amen. This is knowing, amen, the God that loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm convinced tonight that there are people that go to church because of what God does, not because of who God is. I'm burning in my spirit tonight. I hope to God, amen, no one is here like that. But if you are, can I tell you tonight, you can be delivered from that deception. There's a better way to live for God than a performance-based servitude. Amen, I love him. not because he healed my body. I love him not because my bills are paid. I love him not because I'm in good health. I love him because he first loved me. It's not based on what he does. It's based on who he is. Somebody love him. Would you love him from your heart tonight? There's a depth of love that God wants to impart to this church tonight. I'm telling you, God, amen, as much as God wants to do for his people, amen, he doesn't want your service and your affection, amen, and your submission to be based on his performance. I'm afraid too many people, as long as he's given, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But is there a Job among us that when he takes away, his name is still blessed? When he's doing good things for me, and when he's not. When he provides and when he doesn't. When he heals and when he doesn't. He's still blessed. Amen. He's still my Redeemer. Amen. I'm still in love with him. Because it's not based on his performance. It's not because I'm driving a new car and wearing nice clothes and have a good job. Amen. And have a cushy retirement. Amen. That's not why I love him. Because he first loved me. It's not because of what he's done. It's because of who he is. They were fishing. Jesus asked them how the fishing was going, and it wasn't going so hot. And he gave them an instruction, and they soon realized who that man on the shore was giving them instruction. When they got to the banks, they saw this man, Jesus, was preparing a meal at the fire. By trade, Peter's a fisherman. Fishing was not a hobby, it was a livelihood. It was how he fed his family. Amen. I said it was how he fed his family. I don't want to get bogged down in this, but I believe there was a reason why, as he was calling them to be disciples initially, that they caught two ships full of fish. Could it be that two ships full was about 3.5 years worth? Could it be that Jesus said, if you'll submit to my will, I'll finance your ministry. I'll finance your following. But now, amen, the man Christ Jesus has been crucified. Now they're hiding behind closed doors wondering what we're going to do now. We're about out of resources. The two ships full is about to run out. And finally, one day, Peter got frustrated. He said, I'm going fishing. Don't throw him on the bus. I'm going to do what I know to do. It's all I really know. Jesus is dead and gone. I'm going back to what I know. He's doing what he knows how to do, and it's not going very well. And he sees Jesus on the shore, and he runs, and they eat his meal, and Jesus calls him aside and says, Simon, I've got something I need to ask you. Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than your livelihood? That's what the fish were. Fish was his livelihood. Fish was his retirement plan. Do you love me Simon, do you agapeo me? Do you love me the way I love you, Simon? I'm closing tonight. And Simon answers, Lord, King James reads, you know that I love you, but it's not the same word. You know I phileo thee. Not agape, Lord. Phileo is, I've got affection for you. I'm really impressed with you. I think you're awesome. I think you're wonderful. Lord, nope. You're a great friend. What he's saying is, Lord, I don't love you the way you love me. He asked him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says, hey, Lord, you know that I phileo thee. You know you're a great friend. You know I'm really impressed. You know I'm really fond of it. You know I'm really impressed by your performance. He says to him the third time, Simon, phileo thou me? And we read in the book, Peter was grieved because he said the third time, do you phileo me? Is that how you really feel about me? After 3.5 years, I'm not trying to throw anybody on the bus. I'm just trying to get you to look inside tonight. Agape is how God loves. Phileo is more of a horizontal friendship experience. Fond of. I'm fond of God. I have affection for Him. I'm attached to Him. I have a strong sentiment about God. Amen. One commentator says that although these words are similar, there is a distinct distinction, if you please. Amen. Whereas agape or phileo, amen, is of the head. Agape is of the heart. God, I really think you're great. Amen. But my heart is consumed with something else. I hope to God tonight on this first night of revival, I can help some good people love God from your heart. Amen. Please hear this preacher tonight. If it were not the case, I would not be preaching this. Amen. We got too many people in Pentecost that love God from their heads. Amen. They can quote the scriptures. They know all the words of the songs. They know how to say amen. They've got the ritual routine down pat. Amen. I'm just trying to help you understand that's not how God loves you. It's not ritual or routine with God. It's life. It's His very essence. It's His very being. If this kind of preaching makes you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry. You're not being criticized and judged tonight. God just wants you to understand. If you don't feel about me the way I feel about you, amen, that can change. You really can love me the way I love you, because the agape of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't just have to be head knowledge. It doesn't have to be family tradition. You don't have to be a Pentecostal because grandma was Pentecostal. You don't have to be at church tonight because mom and dad are here. And this is just what I do because of who I know. Amen. If I'm the only one in my family, I'm still going to love Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be more than a friend. It's going to be more than fondness. It's going to be more than human affection. It's going to be more than personal attachment. It's going to be more than a feeling of sentiment. Amen. It's going to be a heart for God, a devotion, and a passion for who God is. Would you lift up your hands right now? Oh, my Lord. Oh, come on. There's people that love the church more than they love God. There's people that love their pastor more than they love God. They love truth, if you will, more than they love God. They love tradition. But do you love God tonight? Is there something in your heart? If He never does anything for me, I still love Him. If I get sick and die of that sickness, I still love Him. Come on, let's talk to the Lord here right now. Hallelujah. I'm sorry if my presentation had not made you feel condemned, criticized. Amen. That's not my burden whatsoever. Amen. Would to God that we would feel conviction, but not criticism, not condemned. That's how the devil operates. But there's no condemnation than there in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. Needs to talk to God out of your heart tonight. And say, Lord, it's not about my feelings. Lord, it's not about what you do. Lord, it's not about what you perform. God, it's not about how good you are. Lord, it's not about how much you do. God, it's about you tonight. I love you because you're you.